710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, 3 o'clock growl. Los Angeles Dodgers, one win away from their first World Series championship in 32 years. It's Tony Gonsolin, Catman, on the mound for the Dodgers. During the regular season, Gonsolin was very good. 260 ERA in 86 innings. In the playoffs, different story. Gonsolin has thrown 7 2/3 with a 993 ERA. Dave Roberts says, all hands on deck tonight. The only pitchers not available, Kershaw, Julio Urias, and Walker Buehler. And we are going to connect with Keyshawn here in just a minute. Meanwhile, tonight, the Dodgers facing Game 2 starter Blake Snell, who went 4 2/3 games, 4 2/3 innings in that game, allowing 2 runs, 4 walks, and 9 strikeouts. He actually pitched better than his line would indicate. Snell, during the regular season, 4-2 with a 3.24 ERA, so no slouch by any means.
No, and he was, as you mentioned, great in Game 3 in the beginning. That's why I think the Dodgers may hit him tonight. You know, when you get a second look at a guy, sometimes you can get better. And I'm thinking the Dodgers may have hit home runs in 13 straight playoff games. 13 wow. In a row. That's an MLB record.
Yep.
I think tonight they continue that streak, and I think they get it done. Now, how long of a leash is Tony Gonsolin on? If he gives up 2 runs in the first and 1 in the second, you take him out?
No, I think I let him start the third.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard
decision. I think I let him start the third. Yeah. Dodgers, Rays are really good when they score first. Dodgers really good when they score first. So I think that first run, I hope Gonsolin gets us at least a clean inning. He gave up a homer. I think he gave that home run up to Brandon Lau, an opposite field shot, in the first inning of his last start. I'm hoping for the best with Gonsolin, but I don't think Alex Wood. I thought I would have started Alex Wood. That would have been my call. He would definitely give you some length, but I think we're going to see Tony Gonsolin followed by Alex Wood before we get to the high leverage spots in the bullpen.
I agree with you. I would be happy if Gonsolin threw 5 innings, and if he throws 4, I'll live with it. Anything less, I'm, you know, not great.
We've got Dave Roberts here on how long Gonsolin will go tonight.
I think it's more the eye test because, you know, he's shown that when he's rolling, he gets lefties, righties out. When he's not, you can see that he's not on point. So with guys behind him potentially is certainly helpful. But I think for me, it's just let Tony go until he's not being as effective as we feel he should be.
So will he be on point is the question. So it'll be the stuff as opposed to the outcome. Dave is going to watch him very, very carefully. And you're right, John, very short leash.
And
very short leash.
Joining us right now to talk about that and everything that happened in the NFL yesterday is the host Woo-hoo! Of the ESPN Network morning show. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. It's Keyshawn Johnson. Key, is tonight the night, or do we have to wait until tomorrow?
I hope not. I picked them in 5. They gave me 1 more game, so I'll.
Yeah, I did
6.
Too. Yeah, I picked them in 5-2. Well, we should have won Game 4, Key, until they wet the bed in the last inning with all those errors. We had it.
Yeah, I'm happy. You know, we get a chance to get out of here in 6, and I'm as happy as pie. I hope we can get out of here in 6. I just, you know, being on the East Coast, this damn thing is my eyes start to get heavy around the
I bet.
End.
Well,
are you able to stay awake until the end of the game, Key?
It depends on how much alcohol I've consumed.
Sure. That's truth for all of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Key, what time does your alarm go off in the morning back there?
My alarm is going off. So I move closer to the studio now.
Okay.
So I actually get up a little bit later now. I get up at 4:30 opposed to 3:30.
That helps.
So I stole another hour because I just moved into my house here recently, and so it works out way better for me. But it's still brutal.
You know, I did mornings there for 2 years. I don't know about you, but I think there's nothing cooler than New York at that time of the morning where it's all quiet. It's all quiet and the city is still asleep. I think that's a cool time to be in New York.
It's certainly pretty because it's lit up. and is extremely pretty. There's no question about it. It's quiet. You can move around. You can get in and out of traffic, obviously.
Yeah, but Key, the what we're hearing, and you would know because you're living there now, is that New York has been affected more by COVID-19 than almost any city in the country. Have you found that to be true? Is the city still really struggling to get back to normal?
You know, I think it is. For me, the only thing I've been able to do is, you know, every now and then we'll obviously go to the grocery store. We walk around. My kids play their soccer. They homeschooled. You know, and every now and then we may go out to a restaurant. Outside of that, everything else is pretty, you know, pretty shut down.
Yeah. All right, let's talk some NFL. Last night, the Rams looked dominating against the Chicago Bears. The defense looked fantastic. Some have questioned that the Bears' offense is really, really feeble. What did you think last night of the Rams?
The Rams did their thing. They took care of business. Sean McVay mixed things up on offense, had all sorts of little formations and different designs and different plays to put the ball in the playmakers' hands. The defense dominated their offensive line. You don't have an answer for Aaron Donald and his cast of characters. You know, and they went up against a Chicago offense that is Chicago's offense. You go back to 1985 when they won the Super Bowl. That's the same offense, right? Except there were no Walter Payton. But it's the same offense. I mean, think about it. They wasn't a 400 passing yards a game offense. They ran the ball, they played good defense, and they asked the quarterback not to make mistakes. And that's been the history for centuries of the Chicago Bears in their offense. Nothing has changed. And that's what you're going to get. Doesn't mean that Chicago can't go to the Super Bowl and can't win it. It just means they're going to do it differently than other teams.
Key, how do you handicap the NFC West now? All of these teams have at least 4 wins. And, you know, theoretically, they could all make the playoffs because of this new playoff system. They probably won't. But is this, like, to me right now, top to bottom, I think it's the best division in football.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Arizona makes it interesting because they beat Seattle. And so it looks better than what I think it truly is. You think about their wins outside of Seattle, they don't really have any major wins. The same thing with the Rams. The Rams look clean. They just look clean. But what who have the Rams really honestly beaten, right? Our big test for the Rams is the next 3 games outside of Miami. They go to Miami, which could be a trap game, but I don't think a young quarterback like Tua will get the best of the Rams' defense. But then after that, those next 3 games, it could be crucial to their season. And now you get a classic win, you know, because when they went to Buffalo, they lost to Buffalo. Other than that, like, who have they beaten that you would go, okay, all right, that makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys at the beginning of the season, that's not anything great. Who else?
They beat they won the NFC East.
Yeah, so there you go.
So these next 3 games, by the way, that you mentioned, at Miami, then they go home to Seattle, at Tampa, and home to San Francisco, followed by at Arizona. So that's a rough 4-game stretch coming out of the bye week. They have the bye week after Miami.
And that will tell you a lot about the division when the Rams start to play those type of opponents and knock them down or get knocked down.
Keyshawn Johnson is with us. Key, you won a Super Bowl with the Bucs in Tampa. They've decided to sign Antonio Brown. Good idea or bad idea to bring in AB?
I think it's a good idea if they can handle him. They've got to be able to handle the situation. Obviously, Antonio Brown's situation is off the field. It's not on the field. It was off the field, and he's dealing with that in the court of law. And so I'm sure that they feel real good about the information that they gathered from the NFL as well as whoever their investigators are with the team, that they could handle the situation. And it's on them. It's on Tom Brady. It's on that crew to make a decision if they made the right move or not. But as far as on the field goes, he certainly should be able to help their passing game for sure.
You know, most teams, I think with the exception of Seattle, have got just 1 loss in the conference. So does Seattle Yeah, Seattle's the only team with one loss. Who do you like in the NFC? If I tell you, pick the team in the NFC that's going to the Super Bowl, who do you say?
I still like the New Orleans Saints. I like the Saints, and part of it is I'm biased and there's nepotism that's involved, but so damn what? When my nephew comes back and Emmanuel Sanders come back, that becomes a different type of football team. Now that team becomes more powerful, more polished, offensive, more of an offensive threat, a juggernaut. So when you look at it from that perspective, it's something that you certainly got to look to. I like the Green Bay Packers. Defense can get better during the playoffs. I like Seattle. Again, I like the Rams, depending on what happens down that stretch that they get into. Tampa Bay is certainly there. When you look at the Chicago Bears, the Seattle Seahawks, weather changes a lot, right? You say, well, they can throw the ball all over the lot. Well, what if Jared Goff had to go to Chicago and play in the month of January in the playoffs?
Right.
Right? I mean, think about it. What if Jared Goff had to go to Seattle in the month of January, it's 30-mile-an-hour wind going left to right, and it's rain coming down? That negates a lot of issues. Or Jared Goff has to go to Green Bay, or New Orleans has to go to Green Bay outside of a dome on the road in Green Bay in the month of January when it's 20 degrees and all of that sort of stuff plays a factor in how you run your offense and how things go. It's not as simple as they're cold too. They're playing in the cold just like us. No. They live in the damn cold. It's a difference.
Keyshawn Johnson is with us. Key, in the other conference, the AFC, it looks like either Kansas City or Pittsburgh's the best team. Who do you like better?
I still like Kansas City. I like Kansas City better than I do Pittsburgh in terms of that. Although I think Pittsburgh is a hell of a team, I think they could still come out of the AFC. But I also think Baltimore can get in that situation where, you know, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Kansas City, the weather plays a factor for all of those guys, but it also plays a factor for any of the other teams. Buffalo, it's like no teams with great weather are coming out of the AFC. Everybody got bad weather in the AFC, right? Every
yep.
team in the North weather sucks, right? Everything in the East except Miami weather sucks. New York, Buffalo, New England, those and the Jets ain't going nowhere. But, I mean, you look at their division, everybody. Only place that doesn't suck is Miami and the Raiders. Everybody else in playoff season, it's bad weather.
Yeah.
Everybody else. Tennessee gets cold.
Yeah.
Indy's indoors. They'll probably, if they make it, they'll probably have to go on the road. So you start to look at it, it's like, uh-oh. That weather's going to play a factor.
Yeah.
Hey, Key, give me a thought on this because it just broke and you have college-age kids and you were outspoken. You and I both didn't think it was the greatest idea to play college football this year, but they're trying it. Graham Mertz, the great Wisconsin quarterback who went 20 of 21 with 5 touchdowns on Saturday, just tested positive for coronavirus. So the Big Ten requires those kids to sit out 21 days. So he's going to be out for the next 3 weeks. Is this college football plan going to work?
Well, next man up. They're going to have to play with their 4-string quarterback.
Yeah.
That's just what it's going to be. And you know, the decision was made to play, and everybody else is playing. So you look at it and you go, well, everybody else is playing, so why not?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the reality of this year. It's not going to be perfect, but at least we're getting football, and hopefully Graham is safe and deals with the symptoms, if he's got symptoms and all that stuff. Hey, Key, you know what? I actually have watched your show now. I've now rise and grind. I've been watching Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. I DVR it every morning, and I watch it at 9 a.m. It is a great show.
Wait a minute. You have a DVR in your hotel room in Texas where you've been for
No. I'm talking about at home. I haven't for the last week while I've been in Texas, but when I'm home, I rise and grind because that's the big slogan, rise and grind, right, Key?
Yes, that is correct.
Key, you could ask him any question about your show, and he would not get it right.
Do you really think that I think Mason is waking up and paying attention to what we're doing? No.
Zero chance.
Oh, you know I love
Zero
your show,
chance.
Man.
He's probably,
you
know I'm
he's
a
probably
huge...
baked before he goes to sleep.
Yeah, well, that's a fact.
All right. Puerto Yesca, you got me. You got me, Key.
All right, Keyshawn, all right. Hey, thanks, Key. Man.
Okay, you guys too.
See ya.
All right, there's Keyshawn Johnson, Rise and Grind with Key every morning. Key, J. Will, and Zubin. I love that show.
You've never seen it, have you?
It's my second favorite show on the station.
What, behind this one, or are you going to be?
Yeah, no, hell yes, behind this one. Mm-hmm. This is the best show on the station, hands down.
So you rank Key's show above George and LZ?
Yeah, I do. I do. Until really? I talk to George and LZ, and
I was
going
to say
two.
We have to talk to him in 40 minutes.
Yeah, whoever I'm talking to, that's the best show, second best show on the station. All right, coming up next for you, getting ready for Game 6 of the World Series, chance to close it out. And Chris Rose from MLB Network is going to join us coming up next. Mason in Ireland. I'm live from Arlington. I'll be at Globe Life Field tonight. John back in L.A., hopefully part of a big celebration. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. And standing by right now is Shosh with
Steve.
A look at traffic. Hey, Shosh.
Hey, you guys. Happy Taco Tuesday. And boy, busy, busy day. I'm going to go on out to a West Covina, keeping an eye on a car fire. It's on the off-ramp, bad spot, 10 eastbound, right at Pacific Avenue, West Covina Parkway, and a Rancho Cucamonga still have this overturned big rig. That happened yesterday during that crazy windstorm, 210 eastbound at Day Creek Boulevard. So that overturned big rig still causing issues. This report sponsored by plan.lavote.net. Safest way to vote this year is with your vote by mail ballot. Why is that? Every registered voter in LA County has been mailed their vote by mail ballot directly to their home. To find an official ballot drop box or vote center in your neighborhood, go to plan.lavote.net. I'm Shoshana, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tonight is the night that we wipe out 32 years of futility. Tonight, the Los Angeles Dodgers with a chance to clinch a World Series championship here in Arlington, Texas. I'll be at the game tonight, hopefully watching the Dodgers celebrate it at the pitcher's mound tonight. I will IG live that thing so you can see what it looks like. Obviously, it'll be on TV as well, but it should be a really, really fun night if we can close it out. And joining us right now to talk about tonight's Dodgers victory is Chris Rose from MLB Network. Chris, tell me about the Dodgers victory tonight.
Oh, geez.
Well, actually, Mace, I don't need to. It sounds like you're all over it. I mean, I've already tapped into your Instagram Live. I'm waiting. You know?
Now Chris. So,
yeah.
So this is a weird thing. I had all of Intentional Talk on in the room where I'm doing the show, but because we're doing the show, I had the sound down the whole time. Is the prevailing opinion nationally that the Rays win tonight because they have Blake Snell and this goes to Game 7, or do you think most people are still leaning Dodgers?
I think most people are leaning Dodgers. Here's the Blake Snell thing. You know, yes, he's a former Cy Young Award winner, but the way the Rays go about their business, that doesn't mean a lot, except that he's had a really, really good season a couple of years ago. I mean, do you know the furthest that Blake Snell has gone in a start this year?
I'm guessing five.
5 2/3. He's done that twice in 16 starts between the regular season and the postseason. Now, for a former Cy Young Award winner that's in the prime of his career, you would have figured, well, he might have had one where he went 7 or 7 1/3 or, you know, something like that. They are very, very strict. They really believe in the numbers. They are huge in the sabermetrics world. We saw Blake Snell come out of an earlier playoff game when he hadn't given up a run. I believe it was in the fifth inning. You saw him walk off the mound and he mouthed, "What the F?" Like, you know, even though he has bought in, it's still shocking that you see a guy who has a Cy Young on his resume get removed when he hasn't given up a run. Same thing happened with Charlie Morton against the Astros. You know, he had thrown 66 pitches and was working into the sixth. 66 pitches. Hadn't given up a run. Had given up two hits. And they pulled him because third time through the order, lineups mashed Charlie Morton. So that's what you might see tonight. You might see that Snell's only given up two runs through five innings, and you won't see him out there for the sixth.
You know what I find amazing? Just looking at these two teams, Chris, you know, the Dodgers obviously have a huge payroll. The Rays have the 27th highest payroll in the league. And because of the prorated season, they only have five players who are going to make more than $1 million for this particular 2020 season. And yet they're somehow able to do it. How?
Well, I've said several times on Intentional Talk during the Rays run, and I'm a big believer in them. I think I told you this once before that on the opening day of the season, I picked Rays Dodgers for the World Series.
Good for you.
Yeah. You don't want to hear the second part of the equation.
Yeah, I know you picked the Rays, but that's okay. That's a pretty that's a pretty good pick, nailing both teams. We'll give you credit where credit is due. But thanks. Why? How are they doing that with no payroll?
Yeah. So here's the thing about the Rays. They have stuck to a game plan, and even though they respect the players as human beings, they are very replaceable, and they sift through baseball's recycling bin better than any team around. Half of the guys on their 28-man roster for the World Series were acquired by a trade. So that means somebody, and it wasn't because other teams said, well, these guys they're making too much money. We can't afford them. We know that's not it. So what they did was they went dumpster shopping, essentially, baseball's version of it. They said, I can't believe you threw out this guy. Hell, he would look great in our family room. Can't believe you got rid of this. We needed that for our kitchen. So as they are building their own baseball house, this is how it has worked. The sum of the parts works out beautifully for them.
Okay, Chris, you know,
it's a little bit, I was just going to jump in. It's a little bit like the Dodgers with Max Muncy and with Chris Taylor, because they were kind of classic 4A guys that the Dodgers were able to turn into meaningful players for him.
Absolutely. And listen, Andrew Friedman's got his fingerprints all over both organizations. So don't act like the Dodgers, although their payroll in a normal season is $200 million, that they can also find their hidden gems too. I mean, there's definitely guys that follow that.
All right, Chris. So we looked, the Rays lineup came out right when we went on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. Choi is leading off. Austin Meadows is hitting third. Austin Meadows is batting 125 in the World Series. Kevin Kiermaier, who's also left-handed, is double that. He's batting 250, and he's had a couple of home runs. Can you shed any light? Do you understand why the Rays are leading off with Choi and batting Austin Meadows third tonight?
Okay, so I can probably help you out on Choi. Choi's only 1-for-7 in the World Series, but he does have a handful of walks. So he's an on-base guy. He ain't going to steal a lot of bases based on his size, but, man, can he stretch.
And yeah, right. He's athletic for a big guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, he is, and he's hilarious, and we're gonna have a Pilates time when he comes out and visits me.
Excellent.
The Meadows thing is it's a head-scratcher. But at the same time, you're not going to move Kiermaier up there. It's just let him be exactly where he is at the bottom of the lineup. He's given you a couple of big, big shots. He's gotten on base. Let him live down there because you need that part of the lineup too. I do have a feeling that at some point Austin Meadows will be pinch hit for tonight. Like one thing that the Rays did, I don't know if you saw this, but in their game 4 win, the guys that started hitting in spots 1, 3, and 4 were all removed in a game where the pitcher did not hit. Could you ever imagine a time where Mookie Betts, Justin Turner, and Max Muncy all come out of the game in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. So let's talk about tonight and Tony Gonsolin. He's in an interesting spot. His role earlier in the series was to be an opener in game 2. Tonight, Dave Roberts is handing him the reins and saying, you're not an opener. you're our starter. Does that role change mean something, do you think, for Tony Gonsolin?
Well, I think it does, because they told him that after game two, which meant that, hey, you don't have to be on alert for game four or five. You're getting the ball in game six if there is one. And I have to imagine that just gave him some peace of mind. So what it means is, I'd be shocked, as long as he doesn't get drilled in the, you know, second or third inning, that I'd be shocked if he wasn't out there on the fifth, and I'd be just as shocked if he was on the mound in the sixth.
Chris, last thing for me, Dave Roberts came out and said that we're unlikely to see Buehler, Urias, or Kershaw tonight. But I think if the game went haywire, if the game was like game four, for example, that all of a sudden that could change. Do you think tonight's an all-hands-on-deck game, or are Buehler, Kershaw, and Urias definitely out tonight?
I would say Kershaw is definitely out, because I could see him making an appearance tomorrow. I mean, let's remember, in 2017, he pitched game five, that crazy game five, and then pitched four scoreless in game seven.
Yep.
Out of the pen. So that would be the same equation here with the same number of off days. Urias is the interesting one, because I really think that if they are up by two runs and they've already blown through Trinan and they've already used Gratterall, they might do what they did at the end of the NLCS and just say, we're riding you to finish this thing up. Give us 30 pitches or whatever it takes. You're our guy. And it takes the Kenley part of the equation out.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to ask you guys a question, I'm sure you've talked about it today. I apologize. I was on the air till 3. We asked the question, does Kenley get the ball in a one-run game in the ninth?
No chance.
Answer's no. Answer's no.
Wow. So who's getting it? Trinan again?
I think Trinan is. Trinan is the guy I've got the most faith in.
They would give it to Joe Kelly before they'd give it to Jansen, Chris.
Stop. Stop, John.
Chris, there is no
Joe Kelly has got no feel for the strike zone.
Okay, but there is no way Kenley Jansen pitches late in a one-run game. I mean, it would be Dave Roberts's. It would be his legacy. It would.
Yeah, but what if it works? It would be his legacy.
Yeah, Chris, you don't really believe there's a chance of that happening, do you?
I do. I totally do, because he's had 2 days off. Okay, he has. And people are screaming about what happened in game four. I get it. But he did give up a broken bat. He hit the Kiermaier, right?
Yep.
So relatively soft contact. The Brett Phillips thing I can't explain, except that maybe he had come on intentional talk the day before and got some IC mojo.
There you go.
Which does happen for people.
The exit velo, by the way, on that one was 71 on the Phillips hit.
And that's what you're looking for. I mean, now people can yell at him about not backing up the base. In my opinion, it wouldn't have mattered. Ball went ricocheted the other direction. There was a lot of stuff to unpack with that play. But I really believe that if the Dodgers are in a save situation, because they will have already used Trinan. They will have already used Gratterall.
Chris, people are driving off the road as you're saying this.
For that. Send the insurance claims to me. I'll take them all.
You have no idea there could be this could cause a coronavirus riot. I mean, people are so pent up already and so nervous. And so,
okay, two things about that comment. One, wear your mask. If you want to yell at me, wear your mask.
Yeah.
Yep.
Number two, if you don't pitch Kenley in that situation, when are you giving him the ball tonight?
Never. He's done.
God.
He's done. Chris, I think he's going to be traded in the offseason.
Well, I do think he's going to get traded in the offseason. I think he may have a couple of pitches left for the Dodgers, but I think he's definitely going to be traded during the offseason.
So this is to spin it to my Cleveland roots, this is the Ernest Biner fumble where he got
100%.
Traded in the offseason.
And by the way, Chris, I completely agree with you about the ninth inning the other night. It was very light contact, one broken bat. He pitched carefully a Rosarena, and ultimately a Rosarena got to first, and then it was the Keystone Cops that screwed the whole thing up.
But
the tying run was going to score, but the winning run wasn't.
But, Chris, could I not make this argument? His job, regardless of circumstances, is to close, and he is no longer a reliable, consistent closer. He doesn't have that club in his bag anymore, and so you can't ask him to do it with the World Series on the line.
Okay, I get it. But you understand the formula? Like, I don't think Gonsolin's going past the fifth inning. So
let's say
he gets 13 outs tonight.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's say he gets one out in the fifth. You have to still piece it together. So at some point, you need Gratterall to pitch. At some point, you need Gonzalez to pitch. At some point, like I said, the only other option is Urias, in my opinion, because you will have already blown through the other guys, Trinan, Gonzalez, Gratterall. I don't think I'm missing anybody else.
The only guy you're missing is Alex Wood, and I honestly think Dave would go to Alex Wood before he'd go to Kenley.
That's unbelievable. It really is.
I think Alex Wood will go after Gonsolin, but I hesitate to use Kenley Jansen in that game in a close game. I'm hoping that it's like a 3-run game so Kenley can get that save. I think that would be fantastic. I don't mind him in a 3-run game. I just don't want him in a 1-run game. He's now blown 4 World Series saves.
Chris, I said it earlier. Anything less than a 17-run lead is not safe for Kenley Jansen.
Wait, sorry. Somebody was trying to call me. You said it one more time? Go ahead.
Nothing short of a 17-run lead.
Oh.
Can you employ Kenley Jansen? I mean, that's how mad people are at this guy. I mean, I'm not kidding. It is the entire city, you will hear, it'll be like that scene in Network, Chris. People will be opening windows yelling, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." If Kenley Jansen comes into this game, I'm telling you.
Hey. Guys, I lived through Jose Mesa. You have Kenley Jansen. It's Godspeed. I think it's going to be a great game tonight. John, I swear I'm going to text you tonight when Kenley gets in the ninth.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, my head might explode. I will do everything.
Oh, my God. If Kenley goes in the ninth, I will lose my mind. Yeah. You know what? Frankly, if it's a close game, here's the thing. If it's a close game, I don't care if it's Blake Trinan. I don't care if it's Brusdar Gratterall. I'm going to be nervous no matter who it is in the ninth inning of a close game.
Of course you are. This is fantastic.
We gotta go, Chris, but this was great. Thank you for doing
this. Chris, awesome, man.
Hey, Mace, I'm counting down the hours. It's like the New Year's Eve watching the ball drop. I have it in the corner of my iPhone screen. It's like 5 hours and 17 minutes till Mace is live on Instagram Live. I can't wait.
Don't miss it. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Man.
The fact that you think people are going to watch your Instagram.
Oh, you should see how many people watch my Instagram
live.
It's
ridiculous.
Like I got 2,000 people watching my Instagram live.
I think I'm going to be busy watching something else.
Yeah, no, it's cool because there are Dodger fans in the place that are going to be celebrating. I just want people to see that it's a Dodger home game. For all intents and purposes, I've got Dodger fans all around me at the press box. By the way, I saw a fight last night between a Dodgers fan and a Rays fan here at the hotel.
Who won?
Dodger fan.
There you go.
You know what Dodger fan said to Rays fan? You wait for your own elevator. There are four elevators here. You wait for your own elevator.
I love the chippiness. It's great.
All right, coming up next for you, we will circle back. I guess we're not circling back. I guess we're talking about the biggest story of the day. Game 6 tonight, Dodgers a chance to clinch the World Series. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Here's your hot take. Dodgers 9, Rays 3. That's your hot take.
I think the Rays are going to score more than 3. I think the Dodgers
might
put up a big
crooked numbers
tonight.
All night.
Dodgers 11, Rays 5.
Okay, that's good. 11 to 5. We're both on the right side of this game. By the way, you know, one of the interesting things is let me give you a storybook finish. Tell me if this makes any sense. Dodgers have a comfortable lead. Let's say they've got the lead you're talking about.
Okay.
11 to 5. 3? 11 to 5. What about this? Now, first of all, are you okay with Kenley Jansen in the ninth in that situation?
No.
11 to 3?
Hell
yeah,
no.
Come on.
17 runs.
11 to 3 has been a great Dodger. Give him the last appearance. How about this one? Send Clayton Kershaw out for the ninth.
If it's 11 to 3?
If it's 11-3, let Clayton Kershaw throw the last inning of the World Series and let that guy have a moment after all of the tough ones he suffered through.
Sold.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
That would be a storybook finish for Clayton.
Choice A, unacceptable. I'm telling you, man, if Chris Rose's scenario comes true, if it's a one-run game and they put Kenley Jansen in the game in the ninth, this city, Mace, is going to revolt. They're going to go to their window.
Wait a minute. What if he closes?
It's not gonna, I'm saying the revolt will happen before he closes. The minute they bring him in, you watch Twitter and you watch, you'll be in Texas, but I mean, I'll hear neighbors breaking things if they bring Kenley Jansen into that. You don't think they really will, right? Chris doesn't know the Dodgers like we do. They're not going to Kenley Jansen in a one-run game in the ninth. There's just no way.
I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's impossible. If Dave Roberts has got a weakness, if Dave Roberts has a weakness, it's loyalty. That is his real weakness, is loyalty. He becomes very loyal to his guys.
Here's the only reason I'm not totally dismissing the possibility. I am for the most part. I'm like 99% dismissing it. But here's the 1%. You're right about Roberts and the loyalty thing, and if he blows it, if Jansen blows it, you still got Buehler going tomorrow night. But
I don't even want there to be a tomorrow night.
Well, I'm telling you, that would be the one way Roberts and Andrew Freeman could justify it in their mind. Would say, look, this guy has been great for us. We got to trade him in the offseason. He's got a big number on his contract. If he closes and comes through, it's a signature moment for us and for him. If he doesn't, we're not dead. It's not an elimination game for us, only for them. And we come back tomorrow night and he doesn't go near
the mound. I still can't believe you. If it's not a save appearance, in other words, it's 11-5. You're not willing to let Jansen get the final three outs?
No, I like your Kershaw idea better.
The Kershaw idea is a good one. I like that Kershaw idea a lot. Yeah.
If it's 16, be great to see him celebrate. If it's 16-5, I'll let you put Jansen in. But 11-5, Kershaw.
Boy, you are really down on Kenley.
Let me be perfectly
clear. He did not have that bad a performance
the
other
night. Let me be perfectly clear. When they show him warming up in the bullpen, just warming up, my blood pressure goes up. And I'm not even on the team. Imagine what a Dodger season ticket holder's blood pressure would be. Come on, man. You can't not see it. Well, maybe you can't because you're in Texas. He is, when Kenley Jansen comes in a game, it's like pouring gas on a fire in L.A. among fans. They will go crazy. Crazy. Indiscriminately crazy. It will be, oh my gosh. Part of me almost wants it to happen just so you can see the reaction. Your computer might actually explode at your seat in Texas.
That would be very interesting if my computer exploded.
It would stop. Remember when Kim Kardashian said she was going to stop the internet?
Yeah.
She posed naked. This would stop the internet.
Jorge, do you have Kenley's playing song?
Playing.
What, California
Tupac,
Love?
California Love?
Oh, yeah. Stand by.
Yeah.
We've got it. This is what it's going to sound like tonight.
I do not
very close
want to hear California Love tonight.
Very close game. It's 6-5. The Dodgers are up, and we move to the ninth inning. And who is going to emerge from the bullpen?
Don't even start.
Here he comes. Wait. Hey, Kenley.
This is just mean. Go to break.
All right. Coming up next is Game of Games. Juego de Juegos. And it's my game today. And it's called Do You Know Your Idioms? Do You Know Your Idioms? Okay. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Standing by right now is Shosh with a look at traffic. Shosh, how you doing?
Well, Steve, we've got some fires down in Orange County. It's Silverado Fire. So I'm going to update your listeners. Irvine 133 northbound between the 5 and the 241, that toll road. All lanes still closed due to that fire. And in Anaheim Hills at 241 southbound between the 91 Portola Parkway. Again, all lanes taken away due to the Silverado Fire. This report sponsored by the Exogen Temporal Scanner. Fever is the leading sign of COVID-19. Use an accurate thermometer for twice daily checks. Protect your loved ones with the Exogen Temporal Scanner. It takes an accurate reading in seconds and is the only home thermometer recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. Stay safe with Exogen. I'm Shoshana, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Juego de Juegos, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. The score during the month of October is Ireland 7, me 6, Lindsay 4, Jorge 4. So it is anybody's race in the month of October.
Yeah, because these are all worth, because we're in the last week of October, these are all worth 2.
And the game today is mine. It's called Know Your Idioms, Know Your Idioms. So, John, you can play. Lindsay, you can play. And of course, Jorge, you can play as well. Your
this
name
is one of my
is
favorites.
Your, is it? You're terrible at this, aren't you?
No,
I'm good at this one.
Oh, good at this. Okay. So here we go. Here is number one. If you want to get something over with because it's inevitable, you say, quote, but Lindsay, I need an answer.
I buzzed in too soon.
All right. I'll read it again. If you want to get something over with because it's inevitable, you say bite the.
John.
Really? John.
Bite the bullet?
Yeah, bite the bullet.
Okay.
Oh, that's apparently tough.
Yeah.
All right.
I knew that after I had already buzzed in and been ineligible.
Right. Okay.
If something is easy.
John.
John.
Piece of cake.
Piece of cake is right. Ireland jumps the gun. That was a good one. All right. If you've given away a secret, you have...
John.
John.
Let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, yeah. Ireland's on it. Let the cat out of the bag. 3-0.
Lindsay, what happened to you? I'm good at this game.
You are good at this game.
No, Lindsay claimed she was good at this game.
Yeah. All right. When you can't have everything...
I am. I'm just waiting.
If you can't have everything, we say you can't have...
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
You can't have your cake and eat it too.
There, Lindsay's on the board. Yes, that is correct.
She was just waiting.
Lindsay steals one. Right. When you have bigger things to take care of...
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
You have bigger fish to fry.
Fish to fry. Exactly right.
Oh,
Lindsay's got two.
Okay.
It's a horse race now. All right. When you're just like your dad.
John. Chip Lindsay. Off the old block.
Chip off the old block. John jumps that one. Good job. It's John 4, Lindsay 2. I believe Lindsay is now shut out here. No, she can still tie. Still tie.
Okay.
If you're ignoring somebody, you're giving them the cold.
John.
Lindsay. John.
You're giving them the cold shoulder.
No,
the cold shoulder.
Come on. I definitely buzzed in first.
You did not.
The judge's decision
yes, I did.
Is
this
final.
Delay is killer.
Well, okay. But it's real.
Okay, John 5,
well,
Lindsay
I'm
2.
I'm on the app and Mace is on the app, so I think that's why, you know.
Okay. I know our audience is so fascinated by that. All right. If you do something without having planned it beforehand, you're doing it at the
Lindsay.
Drop. Lindsay.
John. Drop of a hat.
Drop of ad is correct. Yep. Final score, John 5, Lindsay 3.
Oh, I
so
that.
Ireland now has a commanding. Oh, is that worth 2?
Baloney. Yeah.
Oh, 9 for Ireland, 6 for me, 4 for Lindsay, 4 for Jorge. That is your month of October.
Now,
oh, that's
they,
crickets for Jorge.
Yeah, Jorge, nice effort there. Nice, good job,
tried.
Good effort.
I tried.
All right, there you have your Juego de Juegos today. And, of course, we're getting ready for game number 6 of the World Series, potential closeout game for the Dodgers. I am going to be inside Globe Life Stadium, and I'll bring you as much as I can from inside there. The flavor, the feeling, the Dodger fans are going to be there. Lots of chants of let's go Dodgers. Tons of that inside the stadium. When Mookie steps to bat, we hear the Mookie. So Dodger fans have shown up and shown up proud for this particular series. And hopefully we get to see a closeout tonight with Tony Gonsolin on the mound. John, I'm out of here. I got to get to the park.
All right, man. Good luck. Bring home a victory.
I'm doing it.
By the way, if we lose tonight and tomorrow night, you can't come back.
Screw you. I can't live in this state.
You and Kenley Jansen can stay in Texas.
Can't live in this state. This is not my favorite state.
All right, state tax. Come on.
See you tomorrow. George and LZ and John will have crosstalk next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So Bergman got fired from the Twitter in-game tweeting gig. George, what happened?
Well, he didn't take it as seriously as he needed to take it, John, because when the Dodgers were up 3-1 or down 3-1 in the last series, he decided the weekends were too busy for him. And my thing is, listen, if you're going to commit to something, you got to commit to it. We promoted this as Dodger expert Greg Bergman.
Right.
Right, was going to be live tweeting throughout the playoffs. And then he decided to give up his mantle, basically, in his position. So, he's no longer Dodger expert Greg Bergman.
This reminds me of the time that when Mason was the Lakers pregame host, unless the game happened on a weekend.
Right.
it wasn't important enough.
There's a reason that Mason and I get along so well and the alliance is strong over the last several years. The 1 year I did the Lakers pregame, that was my stipulation as well.
If it was on a weekend. Yeah. So that was the creation of Sliwa because he was willing to do it every game. All right, LZ, is tonight the night or do we have to wait until tomorrow night?
It better be tonight because I bought a new outfit for tonight.
Who are you watching the game with?
Me.
Now, are you going to showcase this outfit so we can see it?
Oh, come on. How simple do you think I am? Do you think I need the adoration of people watching me in my outfit?
100% yes.
I'm going to post it very soon. Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, so tell me if you agree. We had Chris Rose on the show earlier in the hour.
Yeah.
And Chris is suggesting that there is a realistic scenario under which the Dodgers could be up by one late in the game and bring in Kenley Jansen.
Yeah.
No.
And I told him if that happened, the city would literally recreate that scene, George, from Network. They'll go to the window, open it, and yell, "I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore." It will go indiscriminately crazy. Do either of you think there is a chance
that
Kenley Jansen appears in a close game late tonight?
I'm with Mason on this thing. I was tweeting about it in real time. I've heard him talk about this. I believe that the stuff that happened to him the other day was a crazy fluke situation, a broken bat single, right? Followed by another little bloop
and
flare.
George, none of that matters. He can't close.
No, but John, yes, of course, context matters. None of that stuff was hard hit. Like that stuff, by the way, was it his fault that Chris Taylor, who also looks just like Greg Bergman? So I feel like this may be a pattern.
Bergman and Chris Taylor met once. Taylor walked up to him and goes, "You're listening to KSPN Los
Angeles." So it's not Kenley's fault that Chris Taylor bobbled the ball and then Will Smith couldn't handle an easy toss from Max Muncy.
That's not why I say no. And Lord knows, at least in terms of this radio station, there may be no one who's been on the Kenley Jansen mountaintop more than me. Like, I've defended this guy a billion times. The reason why I said no isn't because of all the fluky things that happened. It's because of what happened after the ball made contact. he immediately collapsed, and he looked as if he was wandering around in the infield instead of doing the things that you're taught to do as a little leaguer in that situation as a pitcher. He didn't cover home. He didn't look like he knew what he was doing. He had given up and looked like he was like out of sorts. So I'm not saying no because of the two errors that led to our defeat or that he struggled getting the final out because stuff happens. I'm saying no because when the pressure really came in the heat of the moment, he wasn't functional.
He can no longer close, guys. He's incapable of doing the job by which you're entrusting him to do. It just doesn't make any sense to go to him. You have multiple other options. I mean, LZ, I'd rather see Gratterall. I'd rather see Alex Wood. I'd rather see Gonzalez. I'd rather see Joe Kelly. I'd rather see Trinan. I mean, the list goes on. Anybody but. That's how. And I think the city is the same way. I mean, if they bring in Kenley Jansen, you watch. There is going to be a meltdown, an L.A. meltdown, both on over the internet and in person.
Okay, here's what I'm telling you. Everyone was worried about Clayton Kershaw, and Clayton Kershaw delivered. Everyone is worried about Kenley. Kenley will deliver if asked. I believe it.
I'm done. I'm done. And John, you know this. I argued you up and down, left and right about Kenley the last time we had purgatory.
Right.
And I was like, he's been outstanding his last four outings. He's back.
He's been a great Dodger. He's done.
And again,
let the record show that on purgatory on October 27th at 4:02 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Well, actually, it's not Pacific Standard Time yet because that'll be November after November 1st. But anyway, you get the point that I was the only one who was willing to defend Kenley, that both of you jumped ship.
I didn't. No.
We didn't jump ship.
The ship sank.
Yeah, the ship is done. That island has been vacant, man. That's the island of Dr. Moreau. No one's on it.
Dude, there is no way. And here's the other thing. There is no way. That Dave Roberts is going to put his career on the line on that dude anymore. He's not. And no one is going to blame him. Nobody is going to blame him if he picks anyone else, to John's credit, you know what he's saying, anyone else to close out. No one's going to say, well, why do you put in Kenley? No one's going to ask that question.
Kershaw and Kenley in 2020, I'm still here for you.
But, hey, George, I'd rather put Kershaw in the game tonight on 2 days rest than put Kenley in the game.
Now you've gone crazy.
No, wait a minute. LZ, if that's your choice, if the game goes to the 20th inning and you either got to put in Kershaw or Kenley, who are you going with?
Kenley.
Oh, God, don't.
Yes.
Yeah,
Kenley.
Yes, Kenley. Thank you, LZ.
You know why? Because I don't want to do that to Kim. I don't want to do that to Kershaw.
Right, because we've already done the thing where we've expelled his demons.
Yes.
By the way, if you guys have ever heard me on the station talk about this guy, you'll know how serious this is.
Okay.
I go to Pedro Baez before Kenley.
Oh,
sweet
come on.
Jesus, no.
And
no.
He's been
sweet
awful.
Jesus, no.
No. Come on, man.
By the way, Baez is the real reason why we lost the game.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I'd still go to him before Kenley.
No.
He gave up all the yams. He gave up all the yams, went to the farmer's market, got more yams, and gave those up too.
And by the way, that particular move is really what I thought was – look, LZ and I, specifically John, have been very much pushing back on the Dave Roberts criticism because I think it's just easy to do it from your couch. But that one was like, really? And he left them in. That was the other part.
Right.
I was like, yo, you are opening yourself up to all the criticism, and it's deserved. At that point in that game.
Well, the
thing that was really painful, though, during all of that was that Smoltz kept reminding the listeners and the viewers the reasons why he's in was because Baez is really good against left-handers.
Right.
And they kept tagging him while he was saying it.
Yeah.
It just seems like, well, here's the thing. There's no way under any scenario that Walker Buehler pitches tonight, right? They're holding him for tomorrow in case they need him.
Yeah, he's tomorrow. If they need
I would pitch him tonight. I would have pitched him tonight on 3 days rest.
I wouldn't because of the blisters.
And George, he's never pitched on 3 days rest. He's
well, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story, John Ireland.
Oh, can we get some music for the story?
Yeah. I don't know, Jorge, do you have some music for me? Do you have some, like,
give him some story time music.
Story time music? Like, is there something I can do here? Because I was going to open the show talking about this, but since we're here, we can talk about it right now.
And yeah, you have a very limited show today.
Yeah,
this
we do.
Is,
we
have, this is technically more into your show right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we are technically into the show. So it's the start of the show. So John Ireland, a young George Sedano, okay, at 26 years old, took a trip on his own dime to cover Game 6 of the 2003 World Series between then the Florida Marlins and the juggernaut New York Yankees, the dynastic New York Yankees.
All the way from Cuba?
All the way from Cuba after I washed up the shores. I decided to jump on another plane and get to New York. So much so that I was and the funny part of this story is as I was flying to New York from Miami, there was a person on the airplane that had a heart attack. We had to land the plane, an emergency landing in Orlando. Okay. They had to rush this poor man off the plane. We then got back up in the air, flew this bird to New York. I landed in New York, no time to drop off my luggage. I went straight to Yankee Stadium with my luggage.
Where'd you put your luggage during the game?
Wait, so I get to the media check-in, and the two gentlemen standing there, I say to me, "Why do you have this luggage?" And I explain to them what happened. The
and one guy, your mask?
No mask. It's 2003. Okay. One guy looks at the other and says, "All right, you check his work bag. I'll check his drawers." And they did. They gave me all that. I put the bag, the luggage, in the media room. I was able to tuck it away thanks to Yankees PR. Nonetheless, I witnessed a game where a 23-year-old Josh Beckett, yes, former Dodger Josh Beckett.
Okay. Yeah. Barely had facial hair, remember that?
Went into Yankee Stadium on 3 days rest. He had never gone on short rest. He also had a blister problem that season as well, and really throughout his career, but definitely during that season. And he went in and mowed down the dynastic Yankees in Yankee Stadium, hostile environment. That means to me that a 26-year-old Walker Buehler, who is the best player not named Mookie Betts on the Dodgers, can go in there, continue his historic pitching run, John Ireland, and close them out on 3 days rest in a neutral site. There is no reason to believe that shouldn't be the case. I don't trust Gonsolin and his 9.5 postseason ERA. Give me historic run Walker Buehler.
Sedano.
Can I tell you something?
What game was that?
That was game 6, just like this.
George, can I tell you something? The passion by which you sold that story, and most of all, the musical accompaniment, convinced me. I thought there was no way you could convince me, but this music, is this Terms of Endearment? I mean, what is it? Where did we get this music? Forrest Gump. I don't know how you did it, but you convinced me. I think Dave Roberts should reverse field and start Buehler in the next, the game now. By the way, we're T-minus 1 hour. The game starts in 59 minutes. 5:08 first pitch. And George, you convinced me.
Yeah,
now I'm actually excited to listen to your show.
How do you not have Walker Buehler starting to close out? You don't want this to get to a game 7. You're going up against their best pitcher in Blake Snell. What the hell are you throwing Tony Gonsolin for?
Because we almost won with him before.
Oh, he's been so bad this postseason.
Yeah, it's the facial hair.
All right, coming up, George and LZ for a power hour that'll actually be less than an hour, but it starts now. Do we have Shosh, George, or no?
I don't know. There she is. Shosh, what do you think? Walker Buehler or Tony Gonsolin in his 9.5 ERA?
I say more of the Forrest Gump music because that was making me laugh. Mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates.
Well, what did Mama say about traffic in L.A. today?
Oh, it's bad. It's really bad. Now, I think everyone wants to get home to watch this game. I really do. And now we got a problem in, I love this music, in Burbank, 134 eastbound, right at Buena Vista Street, Riverside Drive, crash blocking the second lane from the left. Traffic is real slow from Bob Hope Drive. This report sponsored by plan.lavote.net. It's never been easier to vote early and avoid lines in the presidential election. You can complete your vote by mail ballot from the safety of your home and security return your ballot by mail. To find an official ballot drop box or your local vote center, go to plan.lavote.net. I'm Karen Kay, 710 ESPN.